Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week we'll review Headcount, which is two words. As always, John will give us the plot in five words, give our first thought, and then go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, hey John.
Hey Rolando.
Let's go. We're going to the short film corner.
Yeah, okay. I'm still a little iffy about this, but sure.
Don't drag your feet. Let's go.
I see you put out a bowl of hard candy, and that must be some Halloween treats, some leftover treats.
Yeah.
Here's some soda pop. Yeah. I'm into it.
Now that we're nice and lounged.
These beanbags were in?
We checked out. Beanbags are in. One beanbag. We share it. We sit together on the beanbag.
It's a very large beanbag. The size of a bowling ball.
Yeah. Not a lot of people know this. It has actual beans in it.
Yep. And bags.
Very uncomfortable.
It's got
very
both.
Uncomfortable. Yeah. But it works. All right. Short film corner, where we look at short films. This week, we decided to check out Sleep Tight. And it's a horror movie, but is it?
I don't know. Yeah. I got an alternate title for it.
Okay. Hit me with the alternate title.
So, for the alternate title for Sleep Tight, Johnny has No Sex Before Marriage, Kid.
Okay. Sleep Tight. I don't have any other information. I should have written all this down about it, but... I am prepared as always.
Well,
I just want to say
Omeletto.
That's
right. Omeletto.
In
the description,
Omeletto
says
distributing it.
In the descript, it says that a gamer kid goes through an unusual night. And I'm like, a gamer kid? You know, you watch the thing, I'm like, they mention a couple of times, like, Duke Nukem or something like that. I'm like, this could just be normal conversation with this kid. I don't know where the gamer aspect comes into play. But
I feel like the other part of it, him being in a wheelchair, is more important, right?
I mean, they glossed over that in the descript for sure, because I was like, oh, he can't walk. Okay. That's something.
That's rough.
Yeah. That's a little more involved than gamer kid.
What did you think of Omeletto's Sleep Tight?
So it's not like the best thing I've ever seen in my life, but it is pretty fucking funny. I thought, like, oh, this would have been like a cute, like, if it was a part of a 24-hour film race. Coming full circle here.
Callback.
Then I would be like, oh, that was pretty fun. You know, it's easy, it's quick. But if they had like a lot of time to do this, you know, I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah.
Like it seems really fast.
Yeah, I actually had a lot of fun with it. It wasn't what I thought it was, but once it kind of settles into, you know, the type of film it was, you know, kind of like just a fun, low budget, really jokey. I like the sort of style matched the tone of the piece, you know, and the direction was really good. And, you know, it's just about a father and a son, but they look, the son, I feel like the way they wrote the son was a lot younger, but he looks very old.
I mean, I guess he had to be of age so they can casually talk about sex as fathers and sons often do, right? Everyone, you know, remember that? You just casually talk about sex with your dad all the time, you know?
My dad. Yeah.
It's the norm, right? In England, they talk about all the time. They talk about plowing those fields. Yeah, I guess he had to be old enough for that conversation and for like it to be suggested that he could have sex at whatever age he's at. But he also looked like he was 20 something.
Yeah, he looked a little too old. Yeah.
And then on top of that, I'm going to call it a non-binary vampire that is in this. Because for a second I was like, oh, it's like a Lestat character. But then I was like, I have no clue. Had to go out of their way to hide in a chest while precariously placing a bunch of stuff on top of the chest without this kid who cannot walk noticing in what seemed like a very small room.
Oh my God, I was going to mention that. The size of this room is...
I was like, geez, what part of town is this and how much do they pay? And then I was like, oh, they're not in LA. So they're probably not spending $1,800 for that.
That bucket room's in kilometers or something. You know, they're not using the metrics over there. Jesus. It's about the size of a bathroom, a really tiny bathroom.
Yeah.
To describe it. Does that.
I would say so. Oh, it's. It was a very, very tall, small room, which, I mean, when my time spent in London was spent in flats that were kind of that small. So maybe that is something that is normal, but I do not know.
Okay. I'm going to say it is. It's going to just wildly assume that's the way all their rooms are.
You either live in a place like that or you live in like these vast like gothic Victorian looking mansions. There's no in between over there.
What did you think of the Necronomicon show?
I love that. That was like my that moment for me.
They did a whole like breaking the fourth wall, wink and nod. of the Necronomicon.
So it's supposed to be like, a demon knight.
Oh, okay. It's supposed to be a demon. That's what I thought they were trying to imply, that it was like just a sort of clearly Evil Dead fans just, you know, trying to just do a riff on it, you know, on the Evil Dead.
This suggests that the father, I'm assuming, or maybe the son too, I don't know, at some point killed somebody and stuffed them in that chest? Right?
Well, I was assuming there's no implication of a mother, so I'm assuming that's the dead mother.
But I feel like the dad would have noticed chest. Instead of, you know, cheering the kid on for banging. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to assume that the son...
I don't know.
I don't know. There's a lot of questions.
British people are... British people are fucked up. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. Oh, yeah. Definitely are fucked up people. I was actually, joking aside, I really liked the direction. I thought the camera work and it was very, like, kinetic, had a lot of fun. It conveyed a lot of what it was going for. Like, I was into it. Even though I think when looking back on it, it's just like a fun ride. It's not anything to, it doesn't take itself too seriously.
And it's also very short. It's like, it was nice. It was nicely paced, I thought. And I gotta say, it's got real, real British sort of like feel and humor to it, which I'm always down for. So, yeah.
Good ending joke at the end, which you already mentioned, is the demonite. Let's call it demonite vampire woman burst out of the chest, and she is
real quick
positioned on top of the boy who is
I wouldn't be a super fan if I didn't interject. You called it a demonite, but if we're going with Evil Dead, it's a deadite.
Oh, okay. I'm an asshole. I apologize.
I just like, you know, I better know these things since I have two tattoos behind my ears.
You said demonite. You said demonite. You know, so let's just play. Not that it matters. Not that it matters. It doesn't matter who said what.
I was
just
testing you.
Okay.
And you failed. You failed this test.
I failed? I failed?
I have a shotgun, a sawed-off shotgun and a chainsaw that looks like it's supposed to be on a hand behind tattooed behind my ears. This is a true story.
Yeah. You're right. That's it. I'm done. I'm officially retiring. You are the skeleton boy now. Nice. The show's yours.
Anyway, so this thing in the chest was a demonid. but the dad comes in, and for some reason, the son doesn't say a fucking word. Like, both the son and the the vampiric looking lady. Churning just no words, no noise, just stare at him. And then the dad doesn't say anything, and there's like a long pause too. It felt like there was a beat at least. Like, oh, good for my son, and closes the door type of deal. I'm like, okay. And all the son can do is like, dad? It's like, wow, dude, I'd be fucking screaming.
Yeah. That was actually pretty fun. That was good. It was good. Yeah, it was fun. Fun little short.
Maybe we shall, visit more of these amuletos.
You don't want to visit Antlers, or what was the other?
Altar, right? Was that the name of the other company?
Altar.
No, I'm okay.
Altar. We are not praying at the altar.
Negative.
Good luck. Good luck to Altar. Movies are hard. All right. Yeah, sleep tight. Nice, fun, short film. Definitely worth watching.
If you got 6 minutes, I highly recommend.
Which is actually one of the major drawing things the 6 minutes.
That's kind of the main.
Which one's the shortest? It's usually how we... I know everybody wants to know how we make the sausage. We just usually pick... Which one's the shortest? We look at times.
We adjust according to our busy schedules.
Exactly. All right. So, John, let's take a sec and talk to an old friend, a ye friend, if you don't mind me saying.
Like Yeezy?
Listen to this.
Is this Kanye West?
Yeah, exactly.
Holy shit.
You got to listen to find out. Shit. Yeah.
See me. I am your new best friend. Believe me, I'm with you till your end. You're never alone with your friend, Ian Noguchi. They're with you until the very end. Not like other friends you pay for that make your skin crawl. Yinalushi will be almost like a second skin, waiting for you so you're never alone again. Consider it a new family.
That's right, baby. I'm back, and I'm ready to sell you more products. You mind just stepping back a little? It's making my skin crawl.
Jimmy Big Dick Gooseneck.
Oh, shit.
Steal your woman or man is back in biz. It has been a while, my friends.
Now, I was a little confused about what he's selling, but knowing Jimmy, he's just selling.
Man.
He's just selling on whatever this is. Yeah. They want the honk, they get the honk. They put his name on it, it's just honk.
Yeah. It's Jimmy, you know, most people have ABS brakes. He's got ABS philosophy. Always be selling. is what I think
RSB selling. That's for
not,
okay.
Air brake system.
You got cars on the head, aren't you?
I'm trying to purchase a new car, ladies and gentlemen. That's what is going on right now.
Yeah. But no, Jimmy is promoting Ye Friend service, and Ye Friend sounds pretty fun. Everybody needs a friend. We have we're a couple of skeleton boys, but not everybody has their own skeleton crew. So it's nice to have maybe something like
that's
this.
That's true. This is true. I think it's a good service. I'm not sure about how to go about getting one of these friends. I just realized I don't think we got a whole lot of information about how to.
Right. I think it's more of like they contact you and, you know, they find you.
Oh, okay.
They find you, yeah.
Oh, I think.
What did you think of the Ye Friend?
Well, actually, in this little description, it says that you just got to say this word 5 times. Sounds awfully familiar.
I'm not falling for
know.
That.
I don't think I'm going to say this word 5 times.
No.
No way. No, I'm not even going to. Just in case. Because this sounds an awful lot like the movie we're going to review. This word that it says to say 5 times.
No, nothing like that. No. Which word?
Nah, I'm not doing it. I haven't seen Candyman, but I'm pretty sure this is the same sort of idea.
Yeah.
Candyman?
You were talking about Candyman.
No, don't do it.
Candyman.
Oh.
Oh, that was fine.
Oh! It's got to be the same person.
Yeah, we both live in the projects of LA. We're doomed.
It's that white dude from fucking Willy Wonka that sells Charlie a golden ticket's going to pop out, I think. Right? Candyman.
Is he ginger?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, Candyman.
Interesting. It's nice to hear the whole Goose is back.
Goose is back. Goose. Yeah, me too. I miss the guy. Definitely.
Ageless.
I don't know. That's a good question. Ageless is the answer. Yeah. Oh. Ageless. Yeah. He's forever. Thanks.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I hope we hear
All right.
more from him in the future. Be nice.
If there's only time. There's time, yeah. There's time. Here for him. He's timeless, but we're not.
No.
So we're definitely on a schedule. busy people. All right. Headcount. Let's go to move over to our review. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Drum roll, please.
For Johnny's 5-word plot summary / potential other titles. But this is for sure just plot summaries.
Other titles.
For headcount. Coming in at number 3, I have Creepy Pasta Claims More Lives. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, like. Oh, let's just do a creepy pasta and then make a movie about it. Nobody's done this yet.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 2,
mm-hmm.
Disgruntled lonely kid is horny.
That's just description yeah. of life.
I mean, I had another that said good older brother deserves more, but that has nothing to do with the movie. I just felt bad for that character.
Yeah,
I was like doing the right
what
thing.
What the fuck, man? He's a little fucking weird, but I mean, he's the
Coming
good guy.
In, number one, all right. For headcount, skinwalkers branch out to internet. Can you imagine this fucking thing? Just like, oh, how am I going to get more victims? Let me just join the internet. Oh, they want to hear a real creepy story. What if I just give them my little poem from a million years ago?
Millennials. I'm going to... That's something I smoked. I don't know. So headcount. Give me your first thoughts, John.
I liked it a lot. I thought it was fun. Kind of seems like an early effort, you know? There's a lot of things that are like, okay. But I really like that it's like the conversations didn't really matter. Not a whole lot, you know, like I because, you know, the dialogue wasn't all that great. It was a little like iffy at best. And then didn't matter because it was nothing but a kill count later, sort of, even though you don't see people die. Which was also kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
to the very end, right?
Yeah, people just kind of kill themselves.
Yep.
But yeah, I thought it was fun. I had a hard time disconnecting this like actor, this like kid coming in, because for me, like his voice didn't match his face. He sounded a lot like he had like a real Jesse Pinkman thing going on, you know, with his voice. Yeah.
The main guy?
Yeah.
The main guy? Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
But otherwise, yeah, I don't know what to say. I can't say the acting. The acting wasn't bad. It was the dialogue was kind of bad. Like the conversations were a little rough.
Yeah.
And then some of the reactions were a little like unnatural to me. Which I think.
Okay.
Made me realize, like, midway through the movie that maybe this is supposed to be treated more like a B-movie. Not necessarily it is a B-movie. But maybe that's supposed to be the whole idea of the movie. Like, you're just supposed to see, like, a sort of... because you can't really call it a slasher film, right? There is, like, a demon, sort of. I mean, you know, there is a demon. But it's not like the demon is actually killing anyone. It's like making them kill people. I mean, themselves, I guess. But it was fun to, like, those moments. There's a bunch of moments in this movie where everybody's, like, hanging out, just fucking getting wasted and fucked up, as you would do in Joshua Tree, which, if you haven't been, everyone should totally go. It's a lot of fun. And then, like, how they move to a different room and then see somebody they swore they were just hanging out with in the other room. I'm like, this is pretty fun. It was kind of cool. I really like that. What'd you think?
A couple thoughts. This is like Mumblecore, the horror movie, right? Is that the idea? Though, I mean, there are things I liked about it, but I have two mindsets, right? One is, you know, these stupid millennials think they can make horror movies is one side of my brain. But watching the movie, there are a lot of interesting stuff about this movie, right? There's a lot of, I thought all the acting was very natural, probably the easiest way to say it. And it felt like, you know, nothing really felt too forced in their interactions. And if I've never been to Joshua Tree or partied, but I imagine this is probably what it would be like.
It looks exactly
so
like
I was
that.
I was sold on that aspect of it, though I felt like I didn't really know any of these characters. Really, the only person that was giving any kind of emotional beats throughout the movie was the main character, Evan. Everybody else was interchangeable. Be honest. Like, I didn't really feel too close or too many to the characters very much.
Oh, you know what?
I didn't
buy the one guy that was supposed to be like the asshole being an asshole. That was the one guy that I felt kind of forced. I was like, eh.
But I felt like that guy, it's one of those, I feel like it's one of those things where it's like that character needs to exist for conflict only.
Yeah.
But you're right, like that, it didn't really fit in this, like, that sort of individual wouldn't fit with this type of group. Does that make sense?
No,
he seemed a little too alpha, I think, right?
Or maybe, like, forced alpha, too, I would say. I just didn't buy it. And, you know, it's, you gotta pretty much Bradley Cooper set the standard in Wedding Crashers, and now everybody's got to kind of like meet that for that sort of character.
Bradley Cooper. Yeah, I agree. I 1000% agree with that. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, like, but I mean, I did like that the film was very slow and it built, and I think the director, what was her name? Elle Callahan. She did a really good job of building tension and going really like at a good pace. She introduces the sort of demon character, his jaw, right? Or his jaw. Is that how you say it?
I mean, how many times are you trying to say this?
She took inspiration from this. Oh, I'm not trying to say it three more times. That's for sure. she took inspiration from I'm assuming a creepypasta, right? Is the idea that creepypastas are like short horror stories that are sprung up around the internet.
Yeah.
I unfortunately adapted a creepypasta once, so I am not completely, my hands are not completely clean on that front. But
well, interesting. But yeah,
so she
Helen? What?
Yeah. Huh? You were gonna be in it. I had you in it. And it was about video games. Anyways, it's all another thing. I wrote it for you, but mostly. But this movie, like, as far as a first feature, I thought there's a lot here.
Yeah.
I thought there's a lot of I really got a good sense. I don't think I've ever seen a horror movie set in a desert locale used the way it was used in this movie, which she did a really good job of conveying the openness and the loneliness of a space like that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, even though I thought she did a really good job of capturing that. And I found the setting to be unusual, right? If there was an easy comparison, just a quick, easy comparison, it would probably be like the setup is sort of like The Thing, right?
A little
like,
bit, yeah.
It's kind of like we don't know who's who. I actually thought that's what they were trying to do, like a Thing type movie, you know, where it's like we don't know who the killer is.
Which, to be fair, The Thing was probably inspired by Skinwalkers too.
Yeah, 100%. I think it absolutely was. Mm-hmm. And so I thought they would lean into that that sort of story. I think they did some interesting things and the narrative was very open, but I felt like at times I thought, even though it's methodically built, the story, I felt like it did drag a little bit. I was waiting for more, and I don't think I was satisfied with how things unfolded. I thought it got a little too, and by the time we get to like the last like half hour and we kind of know what's really kind of going on, I thought it falls into really easy conventions.
Okay.
For this sort of story. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely.
Like trope. Yeah. So that was kind of like the disappointing thing. And also some of the horror-ish moments were done, I don't know, I wasn't completely sold on all of them. Like when early on they go and they go for a walk around and it's a scene where she falls off the rock. She steps off the rock because she's possessed. Oh, yeah. I thought the execution of that, I thought it was a very stunning image, right? Because these guys are just like bullshitting, right? They're just talking about nothing. And then off in the background, you have one of the characters just like completely fall. Like she's just like taking pictures. She's just, everyone's just kind of like casual about it. And she falls off the rock. I was like, oh,
but did you notice the other thing about that scene?
No, what?
Every time anything like that happened, one of the other characters, you got to like really pay attention. But they're acting weird. So like the girl that they talked to at the bottom, like, no, you were just up there. If you pay attention to her while she stands up and starts walking, she's doing like weird, like wiggly motions. And that happens with every time there's like an awkward moment in a scene.
Mm-hmm.
So I was paying attention to things like, and obviously the design itself, like things shifted the crazier things got. You start seeing like that pattern of the star and like the paintings in the background all of a sudden shift so subtly to suggest that there's something wrong with the moment.
Interesting. So yeah, I guess that's definitely something I guess that's kind of built within the story, right? Because part of it is that demon creature ability is that he can hide in plain sight, right? So these characters are all sort of behaving differently. And it's very subtle though, which I did pick up a couple of them where some of the couples that were together early on weren't always together later. You know, they were kind of behaving. They weren't, you know, I think one instance, one girl was talking to one guy and they were kind of closer. And then another girl who's in a relationship, she was like rubbing his back or something. I wish I knew these guys' characters' names, but they were like rubbing his back. And she looked and she was like, kind of like, that's weird. That normally wouldn't happen, but she just accepted it, right? Because it's kind of a weird instance of a weird behavior. She noticed it, but she didn't say anything. So I think this movie is like subtle.
Right.
Maybe too subtle. Maybe it's too subtle for its own good, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah, I hear that. But I did, I felt like I did like looking for those things, I guess. Like after I realized that, I got to kind of pay attention to what's going on in the background more. Because you're right. Like a lot of these conversations, it's like, why am I even listening to this? But I think that was the idea. So it's distracting you from what's going on in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember any of these characters' names. I just realized that.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a theory, but then I think the ending kind of ruins this idea. But I thought, so the quote at the beginning explaining what the Skinwalker is, you know, before you see it, or you won't know, it hides in plain sight. With some green eyes and pale white skin, and then it cuts Ben, who's got green eyes, and like he's very like a very porcelain type guy. In my head, I was like, "What if this entire time he is the Skinwalker?" Right? But then there's this whole moment with him and the lighter, and the Skinwalker is like, you know, giving him the lighter and talking to him. I don't know. I was like, I just thought it would have been a little bit cooler if the entire time he didn't realize that he was the bad guy. And that's why he brought up the poem, like, oh, what about this? But then he wouldn't have said it. It should have been somebody else that said it. So, never mind.
That's this true.
This is Johnny's recut of Headcount.
Yeah. That's always the best part, right? Just let's talk about how we would do this story.
There'd be more incest.
I know, right? It'll be more goop. I think I think those things, I just felt like a lot of the, I would have liked to have gotten these characters, like, either would have liked to have known them better. Maybe there's too many. I don't know. There's just something about, they were all nondiscreet. They were just like interchangeable. None of them really had discernible personality, aside from the guy who was kind of a jerk, right? And the girl he was interested in, and the sort of slutty friend.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, it's pretty.
You're
much...
right though about the whole like. I feel like there is this like real push at the end for this thing doesn't like groups of five for some reason. But I was like, there was way more than five people. This entire movie, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't really get what the
the
thing is. And a lot of these people just disappear, you know? There's no, they kill themselves or.
Yeah, until they got to five, which I thought was kind of weird. It was like, maybe there's something I missed, but like there's not enough people in these scenes anymore. I don't know.
But I think Miss L is onto something. I'm looking forward to see what's coming out next because it was shot really well. I thought the design was really nice. I kind of see what she or they, you know, I don't know, are going for. Cause you're right. I mean, I don't want to say it's like a millennials horror movie, but I would say it's more like, God, I wish I had a better example than the Duplass Brothers. But if, like, the Duplass Brothers made a millennial horror movie, you know? Like a, yeah. a teen type of slasher or, like...
Yeah, I even feel like that references the whole what they, the Duplass Brothers did is even out of fashion now.
Yeah.
It's like, I would say even for its time. When did this movie come out? 2016, right? 2018. So 2019. So this thing came out like a few years ago. Interesting.
You know what? Yeah. You know what makes that super interesting though? This is pre-pandemic. And this totally seems like a movie that was shot during lockdown.
Like, yeah.
Hey, make sure everybody's tested. Let's go out to the fucking desert. We're just going to stay at the place we're shooting at. Oh, but I would say if you got nothing like... Oh, should we go into spoilers? It's a Skinwalker. I think we've, we've established that. Yeah.
Yeah, let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers! The way this ended, they all die. Everyone dies. And the Skinwalker takes over the body of our hero. Or like, you know... But then there's like a lot of conversation about like a new family and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, but aren't they dead?
I don't know. I think the Skinwalker meant like, join me because I have all these faces. I don't know. I guess because he had all these, he was trying to manipulate them to give in, I guess, or something. So essentially, like, once I thought for sure the Zoe character, which is the woman he is interested in, kind of immediately gets like hooked up with. I thought for sure she was going to be the one. She was the only one that was sort of opposite of everybody. She was the only one not in a couple, right? So I figured that she would be the Skinwalker.
But no, I guess.
But she ended up being the Skinwalker, but at some point she. I almost want to see the story
through the eyes of a Skinwalker.
Where Evan looked up the story online. Yeah. where Evan looked up the blogs of the little girl and the family got killed. I was like, man, that sounds like a much more interesting.
And I don't know if this is what it is, but like, however old that little girl is supposed to be now is who that blonde character that's out of focus. When the Skinwalker goes inside the place for the first time.
First.
Right. I'm assuming that's what it's supposed to
be. Yeah, I think so. Oh, wait, didn't it take place in that house?
I could not figure that one out. I'm sorry. Yeah, I tried to figure that one out and I just didn't understand.
Who is. Okay. So very early on in the movie, After they sleep together, he wakes up and there's a picture of a family, which is kind of weird because it's like there's just a bunch of kids everywhere. So this family must be the owners of the home, but it doesn't explicitly say how they got the home, if it's rented or, you know, somebody, you know what I mean? Well, I think it's clearly rented, right? But we don't never meet the renters. So I'm assuming that was the family of whoever lived there. Now,
maybe
right? Like a Airbnb situation.
So you could potentially never meet these people. Yeah.
So he walks out and he doesn't really know these people. So there's a blonde girl sitting on the couch out of focus that he just says good morning to because he's just met this group of people
who are partying balls to the wall. Every night.
They are young.
But I'm like, you know, I'm watching this and I'm like, obviously there's fucking water and tea in these things, right? But like, I would be puking already.
I was puking for them.
I had to stop the movie to go hurl because I drank too much. I was watching them drink too much, is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, now they're going to smoke weed at the end of the night. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I puked again.
That's a mistake. Fucking amateur hour. No, so like she says good morning. So I'm assuming that, and then at the end of the movie, he decides to look up on a blog this random horror story he found. And trace it back to a kid's blog. And I think that is the home.
That makes sense. Or at least the home that got burned down, right? The,
I don't know.
That mini burnt down building.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really follow that. I tried, but I was also like, not to offend anybody, but I wasn't interested enough to like backtrack and figure it out.
Yeah, I think that she I think she came up with the story and had help writing it, according to IMDb here. And I think that there's a lot of good things. It definitely feels like a first feature where there's a lot of things that stand out for her as a director, and there's a lot of things that she could probably like.
Yeah,
she could probably ditch. She could probably lose. You know, she doesn't necessarily didn't work, but for sure, I think that like. As a first feature, it's an interesting movie. I'm not sure it completely landed the story they were trying to tell, because I was confused with he couldn't escape, and I was trying to figure out why. Because once he kind of figures out it's a skinwalker, he goes back to the home, and there's like this red line, right? And the house, goes into the house, and it's all rearranged in the driveway, dirt, sand area. Like it's like a fucking.
I thought it was like fuel. I thought the place was gonna blow up.
Yeah, it looks like a fuel line you'd see like an action movie or something. That's kind of a good descript. And they go. He goes into the house and he walks around the house, and it's all rearranged and upside down, and stuff's like meticulously put everywhere, even though it looks like it's a mess, but it's all kind of put strategically. And then there's all these little like death traps, right? Like there's a toaster in the oven, there's a knife, there's all these like things that he was trying to bring these five people back to so it can kill them.
Yeah, I don't know.
Take their skins. I don't know. Maybe
you're totally explaining it the right way. Yeah, there was just a lot of like suggested like when he was trying to find what was her name, Zoe, or what was her name? I fucked that up already. The love
yeah,
interest.
Yeah, his love interest, right?
Yeah, his love Zoe, interest. Right? When he's trying to find Zoe. Her, like after they like drive away, and he's like, "Oh no, she's not here."
Mm-hmm.
And then she's not in the house, and then he keeps walking around, and he sees, there was something like a toaster also in like the tub, right? Something like that, but.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see her body, so I'm trying to figure out what the skinwalker does with these bodies. It doesn't seem like they need the skin, even though in the lore it rips the skin off the body and puts it on them, but it just seems like a shapeshifter. Because then otherwise it wouldn't make any sense for them to be doubles.
He was having, Why did he have them commit suicide? That was kind of weird, right? Like, is that part of his...
I guess.
Ritual? Because they all... Oh, shit.
Stop talking shit about skinwalkers.
Oh, my God. Yeah, probably fireworks right outside my window. Sorry, skinwalker. Oh, my God. That actually scared the shit out of me. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I didn't quite follow how that was connecting.
I think she's playing pretty fast and loose on the idea of a skinwalker, and she's kind of in not indulging, but like kind of like, you know, filling out the gaps of a story like this. Cause the creepypasta is not very long. Yeah. It's like, less than a paragraph, half a paragraph. And it's mainly just a nondescript
of
a creature called a hiss jaw. It's a poem. Yeah. That's actually a better way to put it. It's like a poem. So, it's like her trying to expand, you know.
You know what it actually reminded me of?
This demon.
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. You know? It had that kind of sort of like feel to it.
Yeah.
The poem, I mean. But I agree. It was very, very loose on what this creature is. Also, again, less is more. I didn't need to see what it looked like. In fact, I liked it more when I had no idea.
That is your biggest.
Oh man,
that's one of your main hangups.
Unless you're going to introduce this fucking thing like near the beginning, I don't care what it looks like.
Yeah, I thought she, you could tell this is kind of like a small budget movie, and I think at times she does a good job of masking it, and other times it feels like a low budget movie. And in one instance is when they had to do stuff like this, right? Like actual effects. There are some hits and there are some misses. I think they still conveyed the idea of what she was trying to do, but I don't know if they were all successful enough for me to. And I think that's just overall. Like overall, I felt like just like there's a lot of interesting ideas, but I wasn't like completely drawn in or completely like sold in on whatever on some of the ending concepts for the story.
With that said, though, this is definitely better than some of the higher budget stuff we've seen. Like what was that Jeffrey Dean Morgan movie that we saw?
Yeah. What is that?
Yeah, that's how bad it was.
I don't remember what
it's
what
called.
Was that called?
Unholy. Yeah.
Unholy.
Yes. Yeah. This was way better than that.
Yeah. Oh boy. That was a left turn.
Yeah.
Nobody saw it coming. Crap. The Unholy.
I think that was one of my alternate titles.
Oh. All right, John. Do you have any last thoughts before we go into ratings?
No, not really. Just I think I said what I had to say. I don't think it's a terrible movie. If you want a quick little, I don't know if it's like a popcorn flick, really. But it's something to have on in the background if you're like having a get together, if that makes sense. Because it's like aesthetically pleasing. I'll say that. Like everything was very clean, absolutely. Especially for a desert movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. I think O'Callaghan is the first feature I've ever seen, and I was pretty satisfied. I was satisfied with her as a director. I think there's a lot of talent there, and that is one thing about this show is we're seeing all these young, interesting directors. And she's definitely another one to look out for in the future.
Oh yeah.
All right. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Headcount 5.6 sexy spooky bones.
I think that's right. Yeah, I think 5 sexy spooky bones out of 10 is the right amount for this movie. Yep.
Yeah. Pretty okay.
Just okay.
Yeah. No, and you know, I'm enamored with Joshua Tree. So I was like, hey, this is fun too. I like that about it.
Yeah, I really like the desert lookout. It really worked in this movie. So, well, it was like you said, it was really well shot. The cinematography is really nice. It was really
design,
well done.
Yeah.
Yep.
I gotta say, the sound was really good too. Yeah, it was good.
I didn't think any of the acting was bad. I didn't think there was a lot of interesting characters, but I didn't think none of the acting was bad. I thought everybody was pretty.
The dialogue was kind of bad.
I mean, yeah.
Unless it was improv, then it is on them. If a lot of that was improvised, then it was like bad. But
yeah. Yeah, because I liked a lot of the naturalness of the performances. Everyone seemed comfortable and, you know, with everything. Everything seemed to act pretty naturally, I guess. All right, guys and gals and non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to